For my first 2 years in theology, for my retreat, we were sent to the little town of Greccio in the Italian mountains. It's where St. Francis started the nativity scene. And the retreat house was halfway up the side of the mountain, where when you woke up in the morning and the clouds would be all below you and you'd just be like on top of this marshmallow kind of thing. But of that, you're up on the side of the mountain, there's not much to do when to occupy yourself in a silent retreat when you're not praying. And so you end up hiking and all. And you get told right before the silence retreats to be, you know, aware of when you go out hiking that there's wild boars and other crazy animals and even scorpions and stuff. Well, you end up going hiking because you need to get out of the house. You need to get out of the retreat center. And so you end up hiking up the mountain. You can imagine, I'm not a hiker. You end up going up that mountain, half dying as you go up and all. But eventually you get to the top. And you have that great view of the valley, a great view of all of God's creation. And you encounter that great silence up there as you went through the mist of the noisy forest going up there, wondering if a boar was going to come out and attack you. But then you encounter that silence. You encounter that quiet. You encounter that great glory of God. Well, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and during those 40 days, he was tested by the devil. During this time, Jesus proved his love for the Father was stronger than anything else. That our love for Jesus leads us to want to draw closer to Jesus during Lent and overcome anything in our lives from the devil that keeps us apart from Jesus. The Jesus in the desert, like me going up on the mountain, is our model during Lent, to have that get away from the noises of the world, to encounter that quiet, following Jesus in the desert. If Jesus had given in to any of the temptations of the devil, he would have wrecked his Father's plans. That when we give in to temptation, we wreck God's plans for us. Sin separates us from what God intends for us. Sin separates us from that relationship, from having that grace of God in our lives. It's been like that since the first sin, the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. That as a result of that sin, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, that they were separated from God. Sin separates us from Jesus. But our love for Jesus impels us to take Lent seriously, so that at the end of Lent, we can draw closer to him. And we have to ask ourselves, do we love Jesus enough to fix whatever is in our lives that is separating us from him? Realizing that Lent is the time to do that. Do we love Jesus enough to take Lent seriously so that at the end of Lent we can say we have started to overcome sin, that we've started to overcome that sinful inclination, our concupiscence, that it can, so that we can draw closer in relationship to our Lord? Do we love Jesus enough that when we celebrate the resurrection of him at the end of Lent, we can also celebrate his new life in us because of the journey we went through during Lent? Do we love Jesus more than anything that is keeping us from him? Lent is that time to draw closer to our Lord, to our Savior. That when we're ill, we go to the doctor, and the doctor comes up with a cure, writes a prescription to be able to cure us from that illness. If we take the medicine, we hope to get better. Well, for centuries, the church has recommended medicine during Lent to help us get better, to help us draw closer to Jesus, to help us overcome sin. And that medicine is three things we heard in the gospel on Ash Wednesday: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. These are the remedy to help cure our soul. This is the remedy from the wisdom of centuries of experience, the experiences of centuries of holy people who drew closer to God during Lent with that remedy of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It's not only this remedy is from the wisdom of the centuries, but it's also the teaching of Jesus. That it was, as we heard in the gospel on Ash Wednesday, it's Jesus who taught us about prayer, about the value of fasting, about the value of almsgiving. Then why would someone question what Jesus taught us and say there's a better way during Lent? Jesus in the desert is our model during this Lent. Our love for Jesus leads us to want to draw closer to Him this Lent, to overcome anything in our lives from the devil that keeps us apart from Him. And we can do this through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And we could say that the three scripture quotations Jesus uses encountering the devil to rebuke the devil when tempted in the desert are about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And he goes in first quote saying, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him alone shall you serve." Was Jesus teaching us to put God first in prayer and worship? Then the second quotation, "Man does not live by bread alone." Was Jesus reminding us that fasting shows God is more important to us than any earthly thing we desire? Then the third quotation, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Was Jesus reminding us not to test God by expecting God to intervene, to look after those in need, but instead to help them ourselves? First, we go look at prayer. To pray, we need quiet time. We cannot pray if the TV is turned on or if there's other distractions around us. We live in such a noisy world in today's age, where we are constantly being bombarded with different kind of noises, different kinds of mediums, having glowing screens surrounding us. And we often read in the Gospels, though, that Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, to find that place of quiet. That He goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to find that place of quiet, to be able to pray, to have that relationship with God, His Father. If He needed that time of quiet for prayer, how much more then do we need that quiet to pray? Can we find that quiet time to every day to spend with Jesus, God the Father, and Our Lady? We read that Elijah hid in a cave and a windstorm went by, but God was not in the windstorm. Then there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. Finally, a gentle breeze went by, and Elijah knew that God was in the gentle breeze. To find God, we need to find a place of gentle breeze in our life every day. That the church, our church here, is a place, an obvious place, that we can find that quiet place to pray. But can we also pray together as a family for some time every day? The rosary is a wonderful prayer to use together as a family. Perhaps we can come here to church on Thursday for a moment of adoration. Or could we come during Lent on Friday in the afternoon or in the evening for Stations of the Cross? Then we go then to fasting. That Jesus was asked why His disciples did not fast while the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist fasted. And Jesus replied that while the bridegroom was with them, it was not the time to fast. But when the bridegroom was to be taken away, then it would be the time for them to fast. Now is that time. He has ascended into heaven and is no longer with us. That we fast now. That can we fast from TV for a time and give us more time to pray. So we'd be fasting and praying together. We could also fast from the internet or from social media to spend more time together as a family, actually talking to each other and not just like sitting in the same room sending each other text messages. Okay? I've seen it happen. It's kind of funny. Okay? But that above all, in the course of Lent, we are about giving up sin, fasting during Lent to give us greater strength to fast from sin. To exert our reason, our free will over that of our emotions, over that of our desires. To be able to overcome that sinful inclination, that concupiscence that we have as a result of our fallen nature. That fasting is for Jesus. And then lastly, the almsgiving. Almsgiving is an expression of our love of God and the love of others. That when we love God, we love others in their need and give to them from our surplus because they are also children of God. That is why we begin the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father. Because we are all children of one Father in heaven. And once when talking to the Pharisees, when they were concerned about externals, Jesus said that if they gave alms, they would be clean. On another occasion, Jesus said that giving alms earns you a purse that never grows old and treasure in heaven. Jesus taught the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, that the rich man did not even give scraps to Lazarus, the poor man. But when they died, the poor man Lazarus was in heaven. And the rich man was in agony. That could we look at some way that we could give alms during this Lent? Perhaps we give to the parish Lenten service project during this Lent. We could say that today's three scripture quotations in the gospel are about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. That this Lent, let us spend more time in prayer and worship, coming to the sacraments, spending more time with Jesus in our own personal prayer. The man does not live by bread alone. Let us make some kind of penance this Lent, to be able to assert our reason over our passions, over our desires, over our emotions, to allow us to start to overcome our sins, to draw closer to our Lord, become the saints that we are destined to be. And then you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Let us give to help each other from our time and treasure. Let us assist those in need this Lent, not expecting God to simply intervene, but doing our part to assist him in building up of his kingdom of God. That let us use these three medicines during this Lent that the church prescribes for us to overcome our sinful nature. That the church has recommended this medicine during Lent to help us get better. Let us remember these medicines. Take them seriously during this Lent. That way when we come to the Easter Sunday, we may rejoice that we have truly drawn closer to our Lord. That we can celebrate his resurrection, that he has saved us from sin in his passion and given us that great promise of eternal life.